Woohoo! How are you guys doing? Good. I'm glad you guys are doing awesome. Hey, so I'm going to sit on a stool today because I'm not 100%. And before we dig into all this stuff and pray, just want to let you guys know last week after church, Patricia passed away. And we will miss her deeply, and we remember her. And her service will actually be, her memorial service will actually be in the springtime. So we'll gather together and do that. And Karen and Sarah back there in the back, Sarah has been taking care of Patricia for a long time. So make sure you say hi to her and just reach out to her in their loss. So let's get into the word and we'll pray and celebrate what God has for us. Father God, we just come before you right now. We thank you for all that you do in our life. We praise you. You are an awesome, mighty God. And Lord, as we enter into this season, into Christmas, Lord, we begin to celebrate in so many different fashions and ways and with families and sometimes the heartache that comes with that too. Lord, we ask that you would constantly, and I mean constantly, bring our mind back to you. That you would allow us to focus in on your glory, your purpose, your love, and your grace. That, Lord, that you would allow us to extend that to others. That we would not yield to the panic and the chaos of our culture and our community and the celebration and the craziness. But, Lord, that you would give us a heart of peace in the midst of it all. That we would be able to represent you not just in a good way, but in a way that would glorify you. And so, Lord, we give it all to you in Jesus' name. Amen. As we lit the candle of peace up here, and Chris talked about peace and the fact that peace is not necessarily absence of chaos, but being able to have peace in the midst of chaos, I was thinking, have you guys ever had an experience where you had this crazy sense of peace that just kind of overwhelmed you when everything else was just like out of control, you know? I remember years back, we were going over Stevens Pass over in Washington, and as we came up over the top of Stevens Pass, and me and Sasha were in this Corolla, and we had our three little girls in the back, and we were part of the freeway that was like a four-lane freeway across the spread there, and we were coming down in the traffic, and literally remember hitting black ice, and within a split second, the car had done a 180, and we were traveling backwards. I don't even know how it's possible. It's not like a change of gears or anything, but all of a sudden, we were traveling backwards. And it was the weirdest thing because, you know, my kids and Sasha have this tendency to scream normally when anything happens. But that's not what happened. We just did this real quick 180, and literally there was cars right there. And I literally remember me and Sasha just going and waving at people. It was the weirdest thing. And the people were like, oh, you know, and they kind of backed off a little bit. And we were able to finally get it slowed down and turn back around and got down the rest of the road. But it was this weirdest sense of like, there is absolutely nothing we can do. This is really wild. We're actually now looking at cars coming towards us as we are traveling backwards down this pass. So there's definitely those incidents where we have this crazy sense of peace that is kind of unexplainable. And what I want to talk about today as we dig into peace is I want to talk about the fact that I agree with Chris. The goal is not just to get rid of chaos. The goal is to have a sense of peace in the midst of chaos, to be able to really grasp what that means, to be able to really grasp what God would have for us, that we could put our minds and our hearts at rest in the midst of all the struggles that go on around us. You realize that in so many different situations, survival situations, they say it's actually when we lose control, when we give into the fear, when we give into the panic of things, is usually when people die. It's usually when things go wrong. Matter of fact, you know, when you're in the woods and they survival, one of the biggest things they talk about survival is if you're lost or whatever, you build a fire. And the reason why you build a fire is not necessarily because it does anything for you, but there's something crazy about a flame and all that that just focuses you and brings you to a place of just kind of calming down. It gives you something to do and focus in on, and so that you're not so wrapped up in all the worry and the anxiety around us. And I think there's a lot of that that happens in our day-to-day, where we can often get wrapped up in the anxiety and the situation and the stress and all the stuff that's coming our way that we have to deal with on a regular basis, without actually being able to stop and really focus in on the true light of the world, and being able to have Him actually give us a sense of peace and comfort, to be able to focus in on what He would have for us. So when we look at this, one of the first verses that popped to my mind is Philippians 4, 7. And most of you guys have heard this. This is a great verse about peace. So in Philippians 4, 7, it says, "And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." Now, the crazy part about that is it covers two parts, our heart and our mind, which is really kind of interesting, because when you think about people's personalities, there's a lot of us that are either governed by our feelings or we're governed by logic. That we have this sense in every one of us that these areas of our life, of how we process things and the things around us, is usually heavily either done by emotions or they're heavily done by logic. It's what's really interesting is when you put a husband and wife together and one is done one way and the other is done, they think totally opposite about things, and how that can often bring this struggle because they're not in agreement and stuff. But at the same time, it can bring this incredible harmony when ones begin to realize what that means to work together in the midst of that, because we actually need both, the emotions and the logic. And this peace, which is really cool if you think about it, is not just geared in one area of our life, but being able to have peace in both our emotions, the way we feel about things, and peace in the logic, how we think about things, how we process things. This peace that transcends all understanding. It guards our hearts and our minds. This is what I hope that we can begin to look at and really begin to unravel. And my hope, and as we go through this sermon today, is my hope is to give you a few things to start putting into your life. If you're an individual that allows your heart to kind of go wild sometimes, where your emotions kind of get overwhelming and sometimes things get so much that logic kind of goes out the door and the emotions can kind of control you a little bit, I'm hoping that as we go through this, you'll get some things that you can hold on to, kind of like having that fire, that light to be able to look at, to be able to calm yourself down and be able to let peace come back into your life. If it's the logic side, to be honest, there's definitely times where we can think our way through things and boom, boom, boom. And if we don't really actually have that logic, sometimes we have a misunderstanding of things. We can logically think ourselves into a place of anxiety and stress because there's so much to be done and there's no way we can actually handle it. And we realize that situations are out of our control. Being able to deal with our emotion. Emotions are awesome when governed in the right way. Emotions, I believe, are something that God has given us, and often they can be warning signs when things are wrong in our life. They tell us when things are happening in our life where we can stop and realize, okay, there's something that needs to be taken care of. When we feel sad, when we feel lonely, when we feel grief, with Patricia passing away here recently, that's not a bad thing. Sometimes we think about those emotions, and I know growing up with all boys in my family, I thought emotions were all evil. But the reality is being able to stop and realize that, no, that's not a bad thing, because Patricia added value to our life. And so the loss of Patricia and the loss of that is the reality that we recognize that value. When we let our emotions take over and wreck us because we hang on to that so much and we feel like we have to do those emotions or we have to give vent to those emotions, is where we can begin to really wreak havoc into our life and into other people's lives. But to be able to recognize what they're there for and being able to have the Lord and the Holy Spirit to help us govern through those things is really important. I want to read a verse to you here in Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23. Above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it. So here's the reality. Is how we feel about things, we have a lot of logic and thinking, but how we feel about things, the passion of our life, is truly what will govern what we step into and how we respond to things. So it's super important for us to realize, man, this seat in us, this place, when it talks about the heart, it's talking about the seat of emotion. So it's not just our you know, it's obviously not the physical heart of pumping blood. It's talking about our seat of emotion. And so being able to look at that and realize, man, the scripture tells us that we need to be really careful what we give our passion to and how we feel about things, and being able to allow God to really govern those things and guard our life. To be able just to run with it can often lead us into trouble. I mean, many of you guys can remember back in junior high and high school, the first crush that happened in your life. And many of you can probably look back on that and say, praise the Lord, God never allowed that to really go anywhere. You know what I mean? Because at the time, we have this emotion that happens, and it's like, oh, this is the best thing ever. And then we realized much later that, ooh, that was not very good. That was, you know. So the reality is we do need to guard our emotions and how we think and how we process those things. Being able to realize that often it can direct our life in a good way or a bad way. But it's not just the emotion like we're talking about. It's also the mind. So here's another one in Proverbs chapter 3. Starting here in verse 13. Blessed are those who find wisdom, those who gain understanding. For she is more precious than silver and yields better returns than gold. She is more precious than rubies. Nothing you can desire compares with her. Long life is in her right hand. In her left hand are riches and honor. Her ways are pleasant ways, and all her paths are peace. I like the fact that it ends with that, that her paths are peace. To be able to recognize that in wisdom and understanding. See, a lot of times when we make bad decisions, it's because we really don't have a proper understanding of things. I mean, how many times have we gotten frustrated in the middle of communicating to somebody where we had made assumptions about something, when we have come to a conclusion about something and we didn't have all the facts? And because we didn't have all the facts, we kind of step in it and went, wah. And the reality is when we're able to step back, when we're able to logically think through things, when we're able to actually process things and put them into the proper perspective, that often leads us to a place of being able to have an answer, a reaction that is based upon something that is true instead of something that is false. And when we base our actions and responses to something that is true, then we can walk in peace in the midst of those. But if we only make our responses that are governed by what little details we know and we make an emotional response to those things, often we can wreak havoc on other people and our decisions. And so being able to realize that, how do we bring these things together? The fact that we have this passion and these emotions, but at the same time, we have this logic and this process that needs to happen in both of these, and how important both of them are to our life in order to truly find peace. Look over here in Proverbs chapter 3. Proverbs chapter 3. Whoops, I'm sorry, wrong one. I already went there. If you think about this, we'll come back to this. As we think about this whole section about our mind and how our mind works, the scripture talks about it in several different ways. It talks about us renewing our mind, being able to think about what it is that God would have us to do. Being able to take every thought captive is a huge part of Scripture. The Scripture talks to us about seeking first the kingdom. And seeking first the kingdom is literally part of our process of how we spend our day and our mindset of being able to concentrate on what God would have us to think about and pursue and have our passions towards. These are the things that go throughout Scripture telling us and referring us back to a place where we need to actually control our passion and our mind, our thoughts. If you think about the chaos, if you think about the fear, if you think about the surroundings that are around us, that's where it leads us into trouble. It is actually giving way to all the things that are out there that would destroy us and pull us down, that would lead us away from peace. It would step us into the chaos. What's really impressive is when we can actually stop in the midst of all the stuff that is going on and bring in a perspective that God would have us to have as far as what He is doing and who He is in the midst of all of it. Because the physical around us, to be honest, it's almost like the Matrix. It's not really real. It's very temporary. And it's very subject to God's control. And yet a lot of times we think it has to be in our control. Matter of fact, I think that's a lot of times what happens is we get into a place where we think we have to control all of it. And if we can't control all of it, that's where we step into the feelings of frustration. That's where we step into the feelings of anxiety because we can't control it. And the truth is, guys, we can't control anything. And the quicker we come to an understanding that we can't control anything, that we're truly need to be able to rest in what God has for us, that it's not in our ability to even give us breath, that we need to be able to let God do what God's going to do and for us to be able to hold on to what He has for us, that peace begins to truly step into our heart. Romans 8 begins to express some of this for us as believers. In Romans chapter 8, verse 5, it says, "Those who live according to the flesh have their mind set on what the flesh desires. But those who live according to the Spirit have their mind set on what the Spirit desires. The mind governed by the flesh is death, but the mind governed by the Spirit is life and peace." And think about that. The Spirit. If the Spirit would guide my mind and my heart and my passion, that's what would lead me into being able to have knowledge. That's what would lead me to a place where my heart is guarded. It's the Spirit. It's not my ability. It's not me being able to sit there and say, okay, I'm going to guard my heart, so I'm going to do these things and put up these regiments. I'm going to, and we put in all these different things that in order to control our circumstances again. And once we step into trying to control everything, that's once again where we step into a place of realizing you're out of control. The more out of control you are, the more you reach for control. The more you reach for control, the more you hurt other people, the more you get a lack of true truth that is happening. Being able to, give way to the fears and the anxieties that are around us. It's the Spirit. It's the Spirit that guards our heart. It's the Spirit that controls our mind. It is the Spirit that will lead us into truth. Is the Spirit, when we give these things and allow the Spirit to begin to lead us and to trust in what He has for us, that is where the sense of peace begins to truly lie. Of being able to realize that the Spirit is the one that wants to truly help us. So here it is. 4 steps to obtaining peace in your life. Being able to really hold on to these things. Let's start with back where we were before, with Philippians chapter 4. This time we're going just a little bit below in verse 8. I'm going to read verse 8 and 9 here. "Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put into practice. And the God of peace will be with you." How we think and how we process. So being able to stop and go, okay, wait a minute. If the Holy Spirit lives inside me, if I've received Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior, if I've recognized what He's done for me on the cross and I've surrendered my life to Him, and so I've become a child of God, and the Scripture says when I receive Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior, He gives me the Holy Spirit. that he's not left us as orphans, but he's given me the Spirit and has filled me. And because of his Spirit inside me, I am now sealed. I am his. He looks at me and he knows that I am his because of the Spirit. It's like this trademark that has been put on me. But it's not just a mark that's been put on me. The reality is now I have the mind of God dwelling inside me, the Holy Spirit. And so being able to have the mind of God and the access to how God thinks and deals with things is huge. And for us to be able to let ourselves go, not with the mindset of the flesh, but to be able to focus in on the Spirit and more focus in on what the Spirit would have for us brings us to a different way of thinking. And what's really cool about that is Paul states it really simply. When he begins to talk about, boy, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is lovely, whatever is praiseworthy, think about such things. Boy, when do we lose our peace? When we think about things that are none of those. When we think about all the chaos, when we think about how we can't control things, when we think about the overwhelming anxiety, when we think about the wrong that's been done to us, when we think about this and that's out of our control. When we lose perspective, to be able to come back to a place and realize, wait a minute, to actually walk in step with the Spirit. Because the Spirit wants to produce fruit in our life, right? Love, joy, peace, patience. It's right there. It's part of the byproduct of the Spirit living in us is peace. And so the reality is for the peace to dwell in us, we actually keep in step with the Spirit. And part of keeping in the step with the Spirit is allowing our mind and our heart to dwell on things that are praiseworthy. Here's a really cool thing that I've been doing lately. And to be honest, I have to give credit to my daughters. They don't even know this. They used to play this silly game where, you know, you have a word, and as you say a certain word, you'd have to sing a song to fit that word, you know, and as you sang that song, they could pick another word out of that song to sing another song, you know, and they had this, like, song battle going back and forth. And you guys know what I'm talking about?
Encore.
Encore. Okay, so Philip even has a name for it, so that's awesome. So this is new to me. So anyways, they would do this thing, you know, where they're picking these songs out. And the other day, believe it or not, as I was hiking behind Tom and his brother, and we were going through the woods, and it was all dark and all that, and I was in the back, and they were up in front, and we're hiking through, and I was kind of like, all right, you know, here we go. And I thought, I wonder if I could do that with Scripture. And I started doing it with Scripture in my mind. Just as I'd think about a verse, and as I was thinking about that verse, I'd think of the subject that was tied to that verse, and or a word that was tied to that verse that would grab me to another verse. And I just started filling my mind, and I thought to myself, how long can I do this? And it was awesome. Because as we hiked through the woods for several miles in the dark, and I had no idea where I was, and they did, they were like, oh yeah, it's like all I see is blackness, but okay, keep going. And you know, and my mind was filled with being able to just kind of quoting all these verses and coming back to principles throughout Scripture. You know what was really cool about it? It just overwhelmed me with a sense of peace. Life was good. It was better than good. God is awesome. And he has so much for us. And he cares so much for us. And man, when you begin to realize it, because you start going through the verses, guys, I guarantee when you start going through the verses that you know, it is overwhelming how much you begin to realize God really cares and loves for you. And he's there, and he's got it, and it's okay. If he is for us, who can be against us? He loves us so much. He wants us to have life and life more abundantly. And for us to be able to stop and begin to recognize these things and to be able to let them flow through our mind, it's amazing how much all the rest of the junk just fades away because it's really not important. And it puts it back into perspective. Whatever is lovely, whatever is beautiful, whatever is praiseworthy, to think about such things. That's step one. Step two, Ephesians chapter 4. We're just going to go up a couple of verses here to verse 4. Rejoice in the Lord always. And I'll say it again, rejoice. Rejoice in the Lord always. It is amazing what worship will do. Guys, we come in here, I've been sick and kind of lousy. Yes, the last couple days have been great. I've had family at my house that obviously know me is back, and it's been awesome. But I was feeling miserable coming in here, and I came in here, and Andy is in here doing worship. And, you know, when he's doing, you know, Little Drummer Boy, you know, I know some of you guys are going, what's Little Drummer Boy? I don't know if you guys know this, but Andy does. This is one of my favorite songs. You know, because it's about a boy that can't give anything, but yet he can give what God has given him. And how awesome that is. And just to sit and worship and praise God, I don't know about you guys, whenever you're having a bad day, if you can just sit and praise God, if you can just turn on praise music, maybe you can't even sing along because things are rough, but if you can just listen to praise music, it's amazing how music and worship and rejoicing grabs our heart, our emotion, you know? To be able to think about praiseworthy things, that's our mind. That's coming back to that truth. That's that place of being able to go, okay, this is what God says, and I can grasp that logically, and so I need to hold on to that. But then to come to a place of rejoicing, that's that emotion. And being able to grab my passion and go, no, this is what it's about, and this is who He is, and I can't help but worship Him because of who He is and what He's done. And to be able to hold on to that, the heart of what we're really about. Okay, step three. Here it is. We're going over here to Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 says, trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding, and all of your ways submit to Him, and He will make your path straight. Here it is. Trust is faith. So it's one thing for us to begin to stop and change the way that we're thinking, to be able to grasp the things that are praiseworthy, to think on the things that the Spirit would lead us into. It's one thing for us to be able to worship Him, which is an act of the Spirit, to be able to truly worship Him in the Spirit, to be able to step into a place of bringing Him honor and glory and to praise who He is. That's the Spirit flowing through us, to be honest. Because in our own flesh, we can't honor God. But when the Spirit begins to work in us and we begin to praise Him, so the Spirit begins to do this act inside of us. But this here, to be able to surrender, is a huge step. To be able to take what we know and what we feel and go, God, it is all yours. I can't control this situation. I can't change this situation. I can't see a way out of this situation. But it's yours. It's yours. And what you do with it is to your glory. And I submit to it. It's huge. You see, I think there's a lot of people that receive Jesus Christ in a step of faith as far as what He's done for them. But I don't know how many people actually get to a place where they truly surrender their life. We still want to control things. We still want to hold on to things. We still want to manipulate things. It's like, no, God, you're good, and I love the fact that you saved me and you've given me a ticket to heaven and peace, and I'll take all that. But these steps of obedience, these areas that you've asked me that are uncomfortable, we hold on to those, and we don't want to surrender those things. Being able to do what's right, to forgive those that have wronged us, to be able to surrender those areas that are familiar sins that we know aren't good, but yet for some crazy reason we still want to play with it. To be able to truly let go and surrender it to God and say, I want to walk in obedience. I want to let you have control of my life. To truly surrender it. The trust in the Lord with all of our heart is faith. And if you think about it, peace, true peace, is the evidence of faith. If you truly have faith in who God is and what he's done and how he loves you and all that bit, your life will be marked with peace. Because you know it's okay. He's got it. It's not up to you. Last one. Step four. We're going to go all the way back to Philippians. Philippians chapter 4. This time here in verse 6. Probably the verse you thought I was going to start with to begin with. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. When we guard our heart and our mind, when we stop and we begin to realize, God, you got this whole thing, it's all yours. When we begin to worship him and we hold on to the fact that our emotions follow usually our actions, and so we control our emotions in that way, when we change the way that we think about things that are going on and we surrender those things to God, to really get to this place of submitting, of surrender, to lay it at your feet. It's all yours. So this is what I ask you. Would your family say you are a person of peace? That you, in the midst of chaos or struggle, are one who gives grace and peace in situations? Are you quick to lose temper, to be frustrated, to give in to anxiety? If you are, I don't want to shame you, because we've all been there. But the reality is in the spirit, you can have peace. Peace that transcends all understanding. It's supposed to be part of our Christian walk. It's supposed to be what kind of makes us different than everybody else. Because this world does not have a rock to hold on to, but we do. We have something much greater than all the chaos of this world. And so I just want to challenge you. If you're not sure of where you even stand with God, if you can't get to a place where it's hard for you to even praise him, then I would also challenge you with this. Are you at peace with God? Because maybe that's where it needs to start. Is to be able to come to a place of realizing he is your heavenly Father who truly loves and cares for you more than you could understand. And being able to surrender to his will and what he would have for you is the greatest gift you'll ever receive. Worship team, if you guys want to come back up here. As you think about this and you go through this season, in the moments of chaos, in the moments of frustration, in the moments when you want to strangle the person in front of you in the shopping line, in those moments of madness when you're in the car and some idiot swerves in the snow around you, are you able to come back to a place of peace? Because peace should be a part of every aspect of our life. Father God, as we come before you, Lord, I thank you for the way that you lead us and guide us. I thank you that you have not left us as orphans, but Father, that you've given us the Holy Spirit. I thank you, Father, that you change us because we're incapable of that change, that you change us through your Spirit. I thank you that you allow us to begin to realize how it is that when we focus in on who you are, we seek first the kingdom. And that's the reality of allowing our mind to settle in on your truths. That's allowing our hearts to settle in on who you are and to praise you for who you are and what you've done for us. Now, Father God, that you want to renew us, that you want to make us people of praise, make us people of peace, people of joy. That, Father, that in the midst of all the struggles and the things that are going on around this world, we can offer a hope to others that would bring them to a place of understanding That true peace only comes through your Son. And so, Father God, help us, those of us that know you, to walk in obedience to what you have and the truth of it all. And those that, Father, that have not surrendered yet to you, ask that you would help them this season to make that decision to accept you as their Savior and to truly find peace in their life. We give it to you in Jesus' name. Amen.